Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
If you would like to begin turning with me in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, I have, I believe, a very straightforward message for us today, a message that is full of reality, a message that is full of truth, and a message that is full of good news. I believe I have some very good news. We are going to look at what the will of the Lord is. What the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5, verse 17 says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Don't be unwise, but understanding of what the will of the Lord is. Now, everything that happens, happens according to His will. Every single thing that happens, happens according to His will. If you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, it says in verse 11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." If we could ever truly get a hold of that. If we could ever get a hold of that. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. Everything that the Lord does, He does according to the counsel of His own will. Everything that happens. Everything that happens is according to the counsel of His own will. What that means is, only His will ever be done. That's what it means. No one else's. Only His will ever be done. Nothing operates outside of His will. You will hear men stand up and say, "Well, God didn't want that to happen. God doesn't want this to happen." This is a sovereign God we're talking about. This is the God. Nothing happens outside of His will. Turn with me, if you would, to Daniel chapter 4. In Daniel 4, it says, and I love these verses right here, "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation." Nebuchadnezzar was lifted up with pride, and he said, "I did this, and I did that." And God said, "I'll show you who's in charge." And He ran him out of his kingdom and made him live in a field like a beast for years. His hair grew, his nails grew, and just a wild animal. And God brought his mind back to him. And as soon as he did, he said, "I see who God is now." And he said, everything he does is from dominion to dominion, generation to generation. Verse 35, he said, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou?" Don't you love that? None. What Nebuchadnezzar said was, only His will be done. Only His will. He is not trying to be God. He is not hoping to be God. He is not trying to persuade anybody to let him be God. Nebuchadnezzar said, "This is God Almighty, and his will is going to be done." And that's the truth. That's just the truth. That is the truth concerning his will. Number one, it's going to be done. Whatever he purposes in his heart to do, it is going to be done. Now, here is our reality. Okay, that's his reality. That's the reality of his will. Here's the reality of ours. Over in Matthew chapter 7, it says in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Not every person is going to get to enter into heaven. They will say, "Lord, Lord, we want to come in. This is our will." But he said, not every person is going to get to. Not every person is going to be granted the will of their heart. He said, it's only going to be those who do the will of the Father concerning them. Verse 24, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." What sayings is he talking about? Whoever hears these sayings and does them. What did he tell us to do? Well, in verse 1, chapter 7, verse 1, he said, "Judge not that you be not judged." Don't make a judgment on another person. That's what he said. Verse 2, "For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." Now, let's you and I both be honest. How have we held up on that one? He said, do not judge another man. Don't look at another man and say, well, he shouldn't have done that. He ought to be doing that differently. How have we held up on that? When God says don't do something, he means ever, not one time. In the garden, he didn't say, now Adam, that's strike one. Three strikes and you're out. One offense. That's it, one offense. Don't do it one time. He said, this is my will concerning you. Leave all judgment into the hands of the Son. God the Son. All judgment has been committed to the Son. Do not try to step in to the place of God by passing judgment on another man, any other man. How have we done with that? Have we perfectly obeyed His will? Have we done, honestly, what is acceptable and worthy in His sight to enter into His kingdom? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." This is the will of God, that all men and women should abstain from fornication. I believe we know what fornication is. A man and a woman coming together outside of marriage. How have we done with that? Knowing that that does not only apply to the deeds of the flesh. Our Lord said in Matthew 5, it applies to the mind. Even if you think it. How have we done with that? Look at chapter 5, verse 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." He said, every single thing that comes to you, everything that is dealt to you on your plate, give thanks. Rejoice and give thanks. Now let me ask a question. Have we done on that? Have we ever murmured and complained about anything, or do we only give thanks for everything that He sends our way? Have we done? Sometimes I truly wonder if this sinful heart right here ever honestly gives thanks. I'm talking about this sinful heart right here. Never could I say that I give thanks in everything. Never. I'd be lying. I'd be lying. Look at 1 John chapter 2. It says in 1 John 2, verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Can any of us say that we are over our love for the things of this world? Can any of us say that? Can any of us say that we have accomplished the will of God concerning us in anything? In anything, even in just one thing? Can we, we just named a few things. Oh, there's so many things that He has commanded of us. Can we say that we've obeyed His will in just one thing? Here's the answer. No, not one. Not even one. The first man on this earth fell from the will of God concerning him. And every man and woman after him has fallen too. Every single one. We have all fallen into sin against His will. Sin against His will. Now, I thought, though, we started this message by saying everything happens according to His will. Isn't that what we said? Only His will be done. When man fell into sin, did man overthrow His will? Did man overthrow God's will? Was the fall of man outside of the will of God? This is where the gospel comes in. This is where the gospel comes in. I want to show you something in John 11. John 11, verse 1, it says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." He loved Martha, and he loved Mary, and he loved Lazarus. Therefore, he waited 2 more days before he came, so Lazarus could die. Because he loved him, he stayed right where he was. Verse 14, Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He told them, Lazarus is dead. Well, I thought he said this sickness was not unto death. It wasn't. Verse 43, And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. In his good will and pleasure, he allowed Lazarus to die. He allowed him to. He stayed where he was and allowed him to die. Lazarus died according to his will. Why was that his will? The middle of verse 4 said, "For the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." That's why. That's why. Man fell into sin and disobedience against the will of God according to the will of God. Man fell against his will according to his will. Now, he was not the author of it. He was not the creator of it. He was not the performer of any of the sin. But he allowed it to happen according to his own will. Now, how do we know that? How can I make that statement and know that that's so? Here's how. And I pray this will sink in. Here's how. Here's how we can know that so. Before God ever allowed there to be a sinner, God provided a Savior. Before God ever allowed there to be a sinner standing on this earth, God provided a Savior. Before a sinner ever even needed a Savior, there was a sacrifice made. Before there was ever a sinner that needed to appease a holy God, an appeasement was made. Before God ever told man, "This is my will concerning you, do not sin against it," before he ever said that, he provided a lamb slain for sin. Jesus Christ. God's lamb slain, the scripture says, from the foundation of the world. God had a lamb slain before the foundations were ever laid in this world. This is the glorious news concerning the will of the Lord. Over in Matthew chapter 18, it says in verse 12, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and go into the mountains, and seek that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." What is the will of the Lord? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. He is not willing that one of his little ones should perish. He is not willing. And only his will is going to be done. The Apostle Peter said his will is to be long-suffering to usward. Usward. God's elected us. The ones Peter said he was writing to in chapter 1, verse 1 of that same book. He is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any of the usward should perish, but that all of the usward, all of his sheep, should in repentance come to him. Well, how is that possible? How can sinful, rebellious, fallen sinners who cannot do the will of the Lord, cannot do anything that is acceptable in his sight, everything that they naturally do only goes against the will of the Lord. How can they be made acceptable to him? Worthy to enter into his kingdom? According to his will. How? How is that possible? Over in John chapter 6, it says in John 6, verse 37, "All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Lord Jesus Christ said, they could not do the will of the Lord. My people could not do the will of the Lord. They were lost. They were dying. And according to their own will, they were running into eternal destruction, eternal damnation, head first. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. He said, I'm coming. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will. They can't do your will. They cannot do your will. So I will do it for them. They cannot please you, Father. So I will please you for them. I'll do it for them. In Romans 8, it says in verse 3, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. And what that means is, the law told us, if you do this, you'll earn heaven. You'll please the Father. But the law could not be done because of the weakness and sinfulness of this flesh. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, I have a margin in my Bible that says, by a sacrifice for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Why did Christ come into this world? Why did He come in the likeness of sinful flesh? Why did He condemn sin in the flesh? He did it for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He did something for His people that they could not do for themselves. He obeyed the will of their Lord. And He put away the sin of their disobedience. Look at Galatians chapter 1. It says in Galatians 1 verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Why did Christ give Himself for our sins? Why did He give His life and give His body and give His blood for our sins? He did it for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Verse 5 says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Look one more time at Ephesians chapter 1. It says in Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Why is it His will to redeem and forgive and gather all of His people in Christ and with Him freely give them an eternal inheritance in the heavens. Why was it His good will and His good pleasure to choose us, adopt us, accept us, give us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? Why? Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory. That's why. He did it for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, with all that being said, here is our response to His will. Here is the response of every child of God to His will. Matthew 6, the middle of verse 9 says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In earth just like it is in heaven. He said, My people shall be willing in the day of my power. His will is going to be done, and His people will crave His will and say amen to His will. In Christ, we love His will. We strive for His will, even though we know we cannot perfectly keep it. We have never kept one commandment perfectly, but we desire to. And the reason is because we love Him and we love His will. We love it. Our text back in Ephesians 5, verse 17 says, Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. It was the will of the Lord that none of His people should perish. It was the will of the Lord that Christ should fulfill all of His will for His people. And it is the will of His people to bow to His will. They all say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Thank God for His will. Till next week, may the Lord bless His word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, log on to our website at ksgctn.org. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.